Good to see everybody this morning. Thank you to everybody that went and got the chairs and took out the pews and put the chairs in. Thank y'all for all y'all did yesterday. God's getting ready for the harvest, amen. You might think we was just saying that, calling the laborers. Jesus said, pray that the Father would send laborers into the harvest. Y'all remember that? I think it may be Luke 9, somewhere around in there. But in 2014, at a dollar come, and we was back there in that part. And he prophesied to Scotty, and he told him, he said, they're going to come. He said, from the north, the south, the east, the west. And I added all the rest. But anyway, we've been saying that since 2014. And what I'm going to be talking, I was spending some extra time with the Lord yesterday while y'all was working and everything. And God showed me some things, and it goes right along with these chairs. Because how many knows when you're preparing for the harvest, you've labored, you've planted your seed, you've watered your seed, you've fertilized it, in other words, spoken over it, called it in, all that. I mean, there comes a time that it's time to get in the harvest. Now is the time for us. We have labored, we've lost a few along the way. Some of them didn't make it, some has been added, but it's time for the harvest. And how many knows when you're going to get in the harvest, just like say you're going to get in the harvest of hay, what do? Make sure your tires are aired up. You know, you get your hay baler, you get your them little forks that fluffs it, all that stuff. That's what you're looking at this morning. We have 203 chairs out there, and we can probably find 206. So I don't want to hear nothing about how close they are. We came in here and tape measured every one of them. They're straight, Monty. Monty likes straight. We tape measured every one. Why? We can't take any out. Gosh, y'all sure are quiet this morning. Y'all didn't just climb out of the bed and come here, did you? No. We can't do that. We always got to get up in time and pray and seek the Lord and see what He wants to do and what He wants to say. But my title this morning is Rally the Troops. Y'all are the troops, amen. And those that are listening by way of internet, they are also, some of those are the troops. And I'm here to rally us this morning. The scripture says, blow the trumpet in Zion. How many knows Zion represents the church, the body of Christ, and that is us. Amen. So if you got your Bible, let's look at 1 Corinthians 12. You know, and I don't just say thank you to all the people that helped yesterday. Because how many knows, if you've been given into this ministry or whatever, you helped pay for these chairs. They was what, $850 or $800-something? So if you've been given money into this ministry, you helped pay for these chairs. You know, maybe you didn't do the physical work of going and getting them, putting them in here, you know, but you had a part. You know, and if you've not, even if you've not been given, if you've been praying for this ministry and things, how many knows, you also have a part, because everybody has a part to play. Now there's some, they're not playing their part. And that time for that foolishness is over with. Why? We're running out of time, people. He's coming. I'm telling you right now, He's coming like I have never known it before. You know, and sometimes I think we've heard that and heard that. I mean, the Apostle Paul was saying that. He's coming. Get ready. We got to get in line. You know, got to get this work done. How many knows, even if it's not today, you're closer today than you was yesterday. And whether that time is running out for here, it's running out for you. Why? You're a day older than what you was yesterday. So regardless of however, whether He comes in our lifetime or not, we're running out of time to get our work done. Because how many knows, according to Scripture, every one of us is called. Now when I say that, don't think fivefold ministry, the apostle, the pastor, the teacher, because we're going to read some Scripture in a little bit. It talks about the ministry of helps. There's all kinds of callings, different administrations of callings, different ways of working those callings. That's just like I told y'all here a while back that something has been happening on the inside of me, and it's like, I wouldn't have it all the time, but it's like in through here it would come up, and it's like, I told Scotty, I said, I feel like an evangelist. I've never felt like an evangelist, Johnny. Scotty, we used to go door to door ministering to these people and trying to get people to come to church. I mean, this was back years ago or whatever, you know, and Scotty drug us all around, and that has never been my thing. But I did it, but I hated every minute of it, but I did it. But it's like this has been coming up on the inside of me for the last few months. And when it would come up, I would have this feeling, I'm an evangelist. I thought, I don't even know what an evangelist is. I think they go on the street and different stuff like that. Well, I'm reading over there in Ephesians chapter 4 one day that talks about the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, the fivefold ministry, in other words. And when I read that word evangelist, all of a sudden it's like the Holy Ghost quickened me. He said the evangelist is just as much to the church as the apostle is, as the prophet is. And I'm like, they're in the same line. And he said he give all five of these for what? Not to the lost. He said he gave them to the body, to the church, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, right? Till we all come to the full knowledge of the Son of God, right? And to the faith of God. Now I'm like, I knew I was never called to the lost. Now that don't mean I can't win the lost or preach to the lost or whatever when I come across the lost. But my job is pretty much here. My job, and it's like this morning, it's like on the inside, it's purpose. It's like I was born for this. And I'm not talking about Sunday school. I'm talking about the title, Rally the Troops. Why? Because we got to get rallied because we got a work to do. Do you understand? Every person, God knows every person that he's going to put you in contact with that you're supposed to minister to in some way. Every single one of us is called. If you ain't called to nothing more than the Bible says, you are called to the ministry of reconciliation, right? To ministering to people, reconciling them to Christ. But how many knows you're called to way much more than that? And according to Scripture, every one of us is going to give an account to God. Do you understand there's pastors out there today, they're not pastoring, but they're going to give account to God whether they did what they was called to do or not? Why? Because it was God's plan. And if you seek him, you will find it, won't you? Holy Ghost will reveal it, won't you? Won't he? But you got to walk and you got to have a relationship and you got to grow and you got to develop. And as you walk with him, Jesus said, if we follow him, we won't walk in darkness, right? We'll walk in the light as he is in the light. What's that mean? It means our path becomes our journey. Our life becomes illuminated. Brother Brad was talking Wednesday night about revelation knowledge. The Lord spoke to me yesterday about Scotty. And he told me, he said, he's seen as far as I've showed him. Now he's going to have to see more to do more. Do you know that's every single one of us? Every single one of us. Maybe you think you're done or whatever, but when he gives revelation knowledge, in other words, more of the plan, illuminates it to you, that's when you can walk in it. And our time is now. Amen? Glory to God. Anyway, let's look here at us. So I want to thank everybody that had a part in this. And everybody that has a part in this church. And listen to me. All of y'all listening by way of Facebook and internet and all of that. If you're supposed to be here, get yourself here. I know pastors. And I'm not judging and I'm not downing. I'm just telling you. I know pastors that used to be pastoring churches. They're not pastoring churches anymore. They go to church whenever they feel like it, or they're at the flea market, or they're at the lake. And I'm like, what happened to you? When you was doing your job and did what God was calling you to do, you was doing your best to get in the harvest, and going to church was right for everybody, right? What changed? I have elders of my own church that used to, I mean, they was big about going to church, get here and everything, and now they don't even go, Johnny. Every now and then, and they say that's okay. But how come it wasn't okay when they was doing it? What am I saying? This? It's my job this morning to rally the troops. Some of them, they've got disheartened because of people, and I understand that. Been there more than once. Anytime you look at people instead of Jesus, you will become discouraged. Why? Because people don't always do what they're supposed to do. I don't even always have done what I'm supposed to do. That's why the Bible says we don't look at people. We look unto Jesus, right? The author and the finisher of our faith. We look at Jesus and we go after people. Then you've got people, they've become discouraged. You've got people, they've fallen into bondages. And I was just thinking this morning, God, how much that must break your heart. That would break my heart if Travis's body was ravaged with sickness or disease, or my grandkids, or Beth, or people that I love. That would just break my heart. If sickness and disease, the devil had been allowed to just ravage their body. Or if they was just strung out on drugs, just completely out of their mind. Can you imagine how much that breaks the heart of God? They are his creation, whether they're serving him or they're not. Then you've got Christians, they're in the same thing. Some of them. For whatever reason. Some people do what they do because they get duped into it. They get lied to. Some people do what they do out of boredom. All different kinds of things. And we've got, God's got His people out there, those that are not His yet by choice, and then those that are His. How many knows that it's going to take the anointing on me and you and through this part of the body to break that stuff off of them? It doesn't matter, Monty, what tone your guitar's in, but you better carry the anointing. And that's all that matters. It doesn't matter what I get up here and I say, as long as I better carry the anointing. Because, see, there's a lot of people and a lot of churches and a lot of the body of Christ, they don't even know the anointing. They don't even know the presence of the Lord when He comes. Because we've not had it sometimes so long to where the younger generation, they don't even know the difference. But there's nothing that can take the place of the Holy Spirit. Absolutely nothing. I don't care how good we can sing. I don't care how you can have the most beautiful building. I don't care how good you can sing. I don't care how good you can beat the drums, play the guitar, quote Scripture left and right. The devil quotes Scripture himself to the Word himself. But you cannot replace the anointing of the Holy Ghost. I don't know about y'all, but I don't want to be known for being able to quote Scripture and all that stuff. I want people, when they come across me, they may say, just like they said about Peter and John, she's ignorant and unlearned, and we can tell it she's a hillbilly. But we know she's been with Jesus. That's all that's going to matter. And in these last days, it's going to take the power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit working through us. How do we get Him even increased to our relationship with Him? Smith Wigglesworth, I can't remember right now, has something like 17 to 19 documented cases of raising the dead. He's nothing special. We're all called to raise the dead, are we not? We're all called to lay hands, according to Mark 16, right? 17? We're all called to raise the dead. We're all called to lay hands on the sick and see them recover. All of those things. We're all called to cast out demons. How come we're not all doing it? I can tell you. And I'm not just talking about us in here. You got to remember, I'm talking all over Facebook. I'm talking all over the internet, Israel, Colombia, all different places. Back there, they can tell you where they log in at, how many people logs on, and how long they listen to what. So, I'm not just talking to in here. But the thing about it is, Smith Wigglesworth, he had a relationship with God and a very close one. Somebody asked him, because they thought he was a big prayer or whatever one day, and they asked him, said, well, you know, Brother Wigglesworth, how much do you pray, or how often, or how long do you pray? He said, about 15, 20 minutes. They were shocked. But then he told them, he said, I rarely go 15 or 20 minutes without praying. That's what the Apostle Paul said, wasn't it? Pray without ceasing. What's that mean? No, I can't just pray out of my mouth constantly all day long because I've got to talk to people and I've got to do things or whatever. But you're always in that close, in your heart, communication and fellowship with Him. The Bible says that God would come down and He would walk and talk with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day. How many knows He's supposed to be walking and talking with me and you all day, every day? And He tries to. Sometimes it's just we ain't tuned in like the radio on a certain frequency that He's on. Do you realize that's where fasting comes in? Oh, boy. See, fasting doesn't change God, but it'll change you and sure enough tune you up. Why? God's going to do whatever He's going to do. But how many knows He can't do everything He wants to do until He reveals it to us and we cooperate with Him? The Bible says it's God Himself that's working in me and you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. But He can't do it all if we don't work with Him. But we are working with Him. All right, let's look at this. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Don't you just love Him this morning? Oh, hallelujah. Now, I remember me telling you the story, right, of when me and Scotty was dating and he went off to Florida and I toted his picture from the bedroom to the bathroom, back from the bathroom to the bedroom. It's like in my heart I am having such a longing to see Him face to face. Kenneth Hagin talked about Him. He says he went there or whatever. And he talked about Him when he seen Him. He said when he looked into His eyes, he said it was like looking into bowls of love. See, if you love somebody, you long to be with them. But we got a job to do before we can go. Because do you realize every person, every church body, God has a harvest and things that this church body, as a body, everybody's supposed to be in here and get it done. Get in the harvest. In my heart, God's been having me to pray, and it is the desire of my heart. God, help us, Lord, to get in all the harvest, God. I'm not just talking about people. I'm talking about harvest of finances. That's why we need finances. This building's not big enough. The food ministry, it's not big enough. Lord, help us to get in, God, all the harvest that you have chosen for us to get. God, in what we get, help us, Lord, we don't lose a one. Why? Because we're all called to it. Amen? And we got to do it together. Yes, we have individual lives and out here that we work and we do what we do. Don't get caught up in pleasures of this life. Don't let this life get sticky to you. Why? The Bible says this is not our home. We're only passing through here. The Bible says we're in this world, but we're not of it. What do we think that means? That means we take our orders from heaven. We live in this world, but we're ruled and connected by that world. Amen? So we're at two places at once. According to Scripture, the Bible says that if we've been born again, we're seated with Christ where? In heavenly places, not here. Do you realize this time, what we're doing here right now is only a qualification for what we're going to do later? A lot of people, they don't know that. And it's not just that we're going to get rewards, and we will. And the Bible talks about we will be rewarded for what we've done of the will of God and all this other stuff. And we'll get crowns, and the Bible says we'll cast them at His feet. But also He says to the faithful, to those that have been faithful and true to what He's called them to do, He said, I'll make you ruler over 10 cities. You understand, we're not going to leave this earth and float around on a cloud or just live in our mansion with our big pond out there and bass fish all day. I know our head might would like to tell us that, but according to Scripture, that's not so. We do have a mansion, according to the Bible, a dwelling place or whatever that we live in. But according to that, the Bible says there's coming a new heaven and a new earth. Who you think's going to be ruling and reigning that? Bible says we are for at least 1,000 years. And then after that, what do we do for eternity? Just float around on a cloud? Absolutely not. So what we're doing here right now in the earth is pre-qualification for what we're going to be doing later. And we all have a job to do. I'm really trying to get to this scripture, because I got a lot of them. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Excuse me. Oh, God is so good to us. See, we're in this world, but we're not of it. We're not ruled by its system. We take authority over its system. The Bible says over there in, Colossians 3? It says, those that be risen with Christ set their minds on things above. Good, okay with God for us to have pleasure. Good God for us. He likes for us to have rest and all that. But how many knows you can do that too much? You can seek that too much? We can't do anything too much. We got to stay balanced because we've got a job to do because He's coming, and we've got to get our job done. Why? Because people's lives depend on us. People in your family depends on you. God has been having been inspiring. I used to just pray whatever I wanted. God, I need my light bill paid. I need my water bill paid or whatever because I didn't know any better. I don't pray like that now. Now I do my best to pray inspired by the Holy Ghost. God, what do you want? Why? He doesn't work for me. I work for Him. He knows the plan. According to Scripture, I only know in part. And it's a very little part, but He knows all. He knows the whole, right? So I've been endeavoring even more to pray, being inspired and led by the Holy Spirit. God, what do you want me to pray? Because I want to cooperate with you. He's been inspiring me probably for the last month, I would say, maybe a little bit over, that one of my uncles is fixing to get born again, baptized in the Holy Ghost, and be speaking with other tongues. He didn't tell me that. He's having me pray that. Why? Because He wants to do it. Amen? All right. Oh, my goodness. Y'all done sucked up 20 minutes of my time here. I'm trying to figure out if I want to read this whole thing or not. I don't think I do. I don't think I got time. Well, no, we do. All right, this is in Amplified, verse 1. He says, now about the spiritual gifts, the special endowments of supernatural energy. Brethren, I do not want you to be misinformed. The King James says ignorant. How many knows if he says he don't want you misinformed, there's a big misconception about it, right? He says, you know that when you were heathen or lost, you were led off after idols that could not speak habitually as impulse directed and whenever the occasion might arise. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking under the power and influence of the Holy Spirit of God can ever say Jesus be cursed. And no one can really say Jesus is my Lord except by and under the power and influence of the Holy Spirit. Now there are distinctive varieties and distributions of endowments, gifts, extraordinary powers distinguishing certain Christians due to the power of divine grace operating in their souls by the Holy Spirit. And they vary, but the Holy Spirit remains the same, right? And there are distinctive varieties of service and ministration, but it is the same Lord who is served. And there are distinctive varieties of operation of working to accomplish things, but it is the same God who inspires and energizes them all in all. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. You cannot do this without Him. That's why we got to know Him. Be led by Him. Do whatever He says. The evidence, the spiritual illumination of the Spirit for gift and profit. To one is given in and through the Holy Spirit the power to speak a message of wisdom, and to another the power to express a word of knowledge and understanding to according to the same Holy Spirit. To another, wonder-working faith by the same Holy Spirit. To another, the extraordinary powers of healing by the one Holy Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophetic insight, the gift of interpreting the divine will and purpose. To another, the ability to discern and distinguish between utterances of true spirits and false ones. To another, various kinds of unknown tongues. To another, the ability to interpret such tongues. All these gifts, achievements, abilities are inspired and brought to pass by one and the same Holy Spirit, who apportions to each person individually exactly as He chooses. So I cannot choose what I get. You cannot choose what you get. But He gives you it to you, and He adapts it to you, and graces you, and gives the ability to according to Him, right? As He chooses. Now notice verse 12 here. This is my main part I want to get to, is this about the body. For just as, now He just talked about all the gifts, right? Okay. He says, for just as the body, that's every born-again believer, is a unity. Oh, y'all, come on now. We got Christians all over the world. They are an island to themselves. They have this doctrine of demons. They are the church. That's absolutely not so. According to the book of Acts, when the church began, the Bible says in one day He added 3,000 to the church. How could it, unless you're getting demons, how you got 3,000 people added to you? You cannot, right? Every place you look up the word church in the New Testament, it says an assembly and a gathering together. Now, you are a member if you're born again. I am a member just like this. This is called my pinky finger, and it is a member, but it's not the body. Why do we need this stuff straightened out? Because, see, you got to get in with the body. He's not coming back for an individual. You better hear what I'm telling you. We got people all over the world believing this doctrine of demons. He's not coming back for an individual. He's coming back, He said, for a glorious church. A glorious assembly. Now that assembly is all over this world. And sad to say, we've got members that are a part of the church running around here calling themselves the church, being an island to themselves, listening on Facebook, listening on Facebook this morning, and you know the Holy Ghost is talking to you. And you better stop your foolishness and get in where you're supposed to be. Because remember when He called for the supper, He said those that wouldn't come, what happened to them? And He ain't talking about going to heaven. Those that he called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And they wouldn't come, what? I'm too busy. I've married a wife. I've bought an ox. What did he say? It angered him. He said, go to the highways and the byways and compel them to come in. I'm telling you right now, you better get, you know where you're supposed to be. And you, with all this church hopping and this going to church 2 and 3 months at a time somewhere and then not going, being an island to yourself, and you and Jesus got it all worked out for 6 months and then going to another, that's a bunch of foolishness and you know it. Listen, I'm not talking to y'all. Why? I'm telling you, God's fixing to wrap this thing up. And you got a job to do. But if you won't do it, we was not God's first pick to be Faithway Christian Center, I'm telling you. Scotty was not God's first pick to be out there on that street by Dollar General preaching on the street at Oneonta. The guy himself came over there and told him. And I don't know how many God may have picked before that guy. Because if you won't, listen, God's got a plan and he's going to work that plan. And he calls every one of us into that plan. But if we won't do the part of the plan he's chosen for us to do, he'll find somebody else. And you don't want that to happen. Yes, you'll go to heaven. You'll go to heaven, but you will lose your rewards. And you don't want that to happen. And then you're going to become disqualified for what you were supposed to be doing in the life after this one. And there's people all over the world. I'm telling you, I know it, that I know it. There are people listening to me right now on Facebook. They're supposed to be in this place, and they know it. They're listening to me all over the world right now. They know what church, what part of the body they're supposed to be in, and they doggone just won't do it. And they still quote their scripture and all of that stuff and still claim their promises, but you can see their life year after year after year, and nothing is happening. Why? He doesn't anoint that. The Bible says those that are in the house of the Lord, what, shall flourish in the courts of our God. And listen, it's not just about coming to this building. These chairs, them pews didn't get out here by themselves, did they, Johnny? Monty, these chairs didn't get in here by the... Did you find your no lettuce yesterday? You're welcome. I started to tell them double, but I love you. It's me and Monty thing. But anyway, these chairs didn't get in here by themselves, did they? Chloe says, they sure did not. I heard you told her too. Good job. Thank you, Blake. And I'm not going to start naming names because there was quite a few. Scotty thought there was 8, but I counted 7. But anyway, because we have a job to do. It's not just about us gathering up together. Just we, me and Scotty couldn't do this giveaway by ourselves. No way. I'd be laying out there on the ground, my tongue hanging out. Before I got all them boxes towed in. And Scotty be down there with his tongue hanging out from all them people and coat hangers and all that stuff that Darce puts up before the giveaway. I tell you, he would have done shut that thing down if it wasn't for you, Darce. I'm not kidding. One time he was going to shut down the food ministry because there wasn't nobody to do it. But God is always faithful. And his people, that they love him, they're willing to do whatever they need to do. Might not be their calling. I'm not called to tote boxes in the food giveaway. God never told me to come up here and play these drums. I just had a heart. He said, help, right? He didn't even tell me help, except it was written in the Word. I got up here and I cried and y'all have no idea. That is not my thing. Got Joseph to come over here and teach me how to count. Y'all didn't know you had to count, did you? You got to count all this stuff and everything to teach me how to count and all that. And I can't tell you how many times I have been at home squalling and bawling, Travis bringing a new song and saying, Holy Spirit, help me to learn to play this song. And I was never called to it. But some of y'all say it helps. Now, when I'm off beat or whatever, y'all may be thinking, go sit down. I don't know. But do you understand what I'm telling you? It's not just about us gathering here in a building and getting our blessing. We have a job to do. And we're doing it. Thank y'all. Glory to God. But all of those that are not in there and not doing your job, God is telling you, get in your place. He has a place for you. And because you're not there, that body is lacking. they've got a bunch of them, they're in the wrong place. Woo! And they know it. Listen, I know when I don't fit. Don't you know when you don't fit? A puzzle piece knows when it don't fit. I don't care which way you turn the thing, it just doesn't fit. And when you're like that, you're in the wrong place. Some people go there because that's where mama and them goes. Oh, praise God, my grandma, great-grandmama's tear stains are on the altar. That's why I go. Don't go there for that reason. I never told my mama you're supposed to be at this. I never told Sandy. I have never told any of my family you're supposed to be at this church. That is not my job. Because you know where you're supposed to be. And everybody, when you know, get in your place. Because when you're not, just like this, if my finger was cut off, I'd be lacking. I could adapt, just like we've adapted here because people wasn't in their place. Have we not? We've adapted, we've rearranged, we've changed, we've overworked at different times, people, because the other people wasn't here that was supposed to be here to do the work. And thank y'all for everything that y'all have done. Let's go on with this here. I got to quit this preaching and get to reading this scripture. He says, for just as the body is a unity and yet has many parts, that's me and you as individuals, and all the parts through many, though many, form only what? One body, and that's what he's coming back for. The Bible says in Ephesians we've been baptized into Christ, right? There's one body, one baptism, one Lord, one faith, only one. It says, so it is with Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One, for by means of the personal agency of one Holy Spirit, we were all, whether Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, baptized, and by baptism, united together into one body. Now, just when you look at it on a bigger whole, this church may be a thumb. This part of the body out of the whole around the world may just be a thumb, may just be an eye, may just be a toenail on the little toe. You get what I'm telling you? He goes on and he says here, and all made to drink of one Holy Spirit, and he is not confused and he is not in division. He goes on and he says, for the body does not consist of one limb or organ, but of many. It takes all kinds of stuff to make up this body that I'm living, that you're living in. I mean, you've got blood, you've got red blood cells, you've got white. I mean, good grief. I mean, down to, what is it, molecular structure or whatever. All the way up to the hairs on your head. He says, if the foot should say, because I am not the hand, I do not belong to the body, that's a lie. Don't the foot belong to the body, whether it's a hand or not? Don't let the devil lie to you. It don't matter what your part, you got a part to play, and it don't matter what your part is. You may think your part's very little, but God takes every part very seriously, and he made you that part, whatever you are. He says, would it be therefore not a part of the body? If the ear should say, because I am not the eye, I do not belong to the body. Would it be therefore not a part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, if I was one bit, I couldn't even talk to you this morning. All I could do is blink and look at you if I was an eye. Could y'all just imagine? I'm not going to tell you what I weigh quite a bit, too much. But, I mean, could y'all just imagine if I was this one big eye? Do y'all remember that little Mr. Potato Head? Did y'all ever have one of them? I know probably y'all in the back, name him Blake. Y'all had one? Well, maybe you're older than I thought you was. Or just running behind. I don't know. Yeah. What, you just got a potato when you're looking at it. Well, you got all these different parts. Did you ever try to put his eye where his nose was? Or over there on the ear? That would be the funniest looking thing you ever saw, wouldn't it? That's how the body's looking right now. You got the ear where the nose is supposed to be. You got the eye down there where the mouth is supposed to be. You realize you can't function like that? But God's bringing her into order. Thank you, Lord. He goes on and he says, if the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God, say that with me, God Not Teresa, not Sandy, not Doris, right? Not Julio or whatever your name is. God has placed and arranged, just like the maker of Mr. Potato Head, he wrote down the directions of how you're supposed to put him together. And they had a Miss Potato Head, too. It says, arrange the limbs and organs where? In the body. It says, each particular one of them. He didn't leave nobody out. Just as he wished, right? And saw fit. He knows where you work best. And with the best adaptation. But if the whole were all a single organ, where would the body be? It'd be an awful mess. It wouldn't even be a body. And now there are certainly many limbs and organs, but a single body. And the eye is not able to say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. All are needed. Every single one of us. But instead, there is absolute necessity for the parts of the body that are considered the more weak. And those parts of the body which we consider rather ignoble are the very parts which we invest with additional honor. And our unseemly parts and those unsuitable for exposure are treated with seemliness, modesty, and decorum. I have on clothes today. Why? I have unseemly parts. God don't have everybody be seen. Some people's behind the scenes, but they're still just as important. A lot of times they're even more important than the ones that are being seen and heard. He goes on and he says, which are more presentable parts do not require. But God has so adjusted, mingled, harmonized, and subtly proportioned the parts of the whole body, given the greater honor and richer endowment to the inferior parts which lack apparent importance. So that there should be no division. Remember, we just got off of 9 weeks of love one another just as I have loved you. That's a must. Because see, if I love him and I'm longing to see him, I can overlook you. I can overlook your foolishness. You can overlook my ways that you don't like. Well, love covers, don't it? Then it becomes where it's not as important to me to hang on to unforgiveness as it is to let it go and see him. Because in the light of him, nothing matters. Nothing matters. Not holding on to unforgiveness, not pleasures of this life. I'm telling you, y'all know this if you've ever done it, we're at home. When you get in your prayer time and you're just praising and worship him and you get caught up, as John said, in the spirit, you're not even aware of you. And in the light of him, nothing else matters. And you could have been there for hours and it seems like seconds to you when you actually come back to yourself or the realization of yourself. Y'all know what I'm talking about? So in the light of that, nothing matters. Let it all go. It does not matter. Amen? And in this life, whatever takes place here, of that kind of stuff, it don't matter. Just let it go. It don't matter. I don't know why I'm having, you better let whatever it is go, because it don't matter. It's going to keep you from what you're supposed to get. He goes on here, what do we get to? 25. So that there should be no division or discord. God don't like that stuff. He likes accord, right? Oneness. Psalm 133 commands the blessing on it, right? It says, or lack of adaptation of the parts of the body to each other. That means I'm adapted to Samantha. Samantha's adapted to me. Does that mean I have to like everything about her? Absolutely not. She don't have to like everything about me. Just like my hand. It's adapted to my hand, but I don't know if my thumb ever asked it, you know, do you like me or not? It's just there. No, I don't know if I like you, but I'm commanded to love you, so therefore that's what I'm going to do. Glory to God. It says, but the members all alike should have a mutual, what's that say? Interest in and care for one another. When you're not here, we miss you. When you're not here, we're lacking. See, I don't come to church just for me and to get my blessing. Number one, I come for Him because I love Him and I obey Him. Number two, I come for you. I do a lot. I do probably more than anybody at this church. I'm talking about different things or whatever. You think I do all that for me? If you got toilet paper in the bathroom when you go in there in a little while, it's because I went to the store and got it. And I brought it down here and I put it up. And I'm not trying to pat me on the back. I'm just making an example here. What if I wasn't here? Y'all might not miss me being up here, but I bet when you went to the toilet, you'd miss me. I bet when you went in there to get some water, you'd miss me. Woo, and would them kids really miss me, Samantha, if they went in there and wasn't one snack at all? They would really miss me. You understand? I'm not putting that on me. That's how it is when you're not here. You may think it don't matter. One of the reasons why Scotty lost his motivation and got out of faith is because people wouldn't be faithful. And he, bless his heart, he's doing everything he know to do to build a church, to obey God and do what God said to do. And you got people, like I'm talking about this morning, that show up, oh, we love you, we're here, whatever you need, and then call on them and they're not here. I'm here for all of y'all. Y'all were all here for me, right, and one another. So we're supposed to have a mutual interest. I understand sometimes you might not can be here or whatever, but if you can't, do everything you can to listen to the service. Why? We all need to be eating the same spiritual food. Sometimes you can't be here. I understand that, been there, done that or whatever. But when you absolutely, if you can, make a way. I'm telling you, it is so important in the days that we're in. Gosh, I'm about to run out of time and finish my scripture here. Care for one another. 26. And if one member suffers, what? All the parts share the suffering. He says, if one member is honored, all the members share in the enjoyment of it. Every person that sits on these seats, you're going to have a share in it. Every person listening by way of internet, you're going to have a reward in it. Every person that gets that food out there, that gets a Bible or gets clothes or shoes, you're going to have a reward in it. Amen? He goes on, he says, now you collectively are Christ's body, and individually you are members of it, each part severally and distinct, each with his own place and function. Don't try to be like nobody else. Be the best you that God's called you to be. He goes on and he says, so God has appointed some in the church for his own use. First apostles, special messengers, second prophets, inspired preachers and expounders, third teachers, then wonder workers, then those with ability to heal the sick, helpers, administrators, speakers in different unknown tongues. Are all apostles special messengers? We know they're not. Are all prophets inspired interpreters of the will and purpose of God? We know they're not. Are all teachers? We know they're not. Do all have the power of performing miracles? Nope. Do all possess extraordinary powers of healing? No. Do all speak with tongues? No. Do all interpret? No. Now listen to me. If you're not baptized in the Holy Ghost and speak with other tongues, you need to be. That's going to open up a whole new realm to you. Why? You only know in part. And the Bible says that a man that speaks in an unknown tongue, he speaks unto God, not unto men. Now what this is, you got to realize there's two different kinds. Just like 1 Corinthians 12, he put that as a gift. Everybody don't have it. What's that mean? That means like I'm up here right now or during praise and worship or sometimes somebody pops up and starts speaking out in tongues. They're given a message. There always has to be an interpreter with that. Why? Because we don't understand it unless you're speaking our language. But now the baptism of the Holy Ghost with evidence of speaking in tongues, so to call it or whatever, that happened over there in the book. That's for every born-again believer to you, for you to use at will. You get that? That's why he's saying, do all speak with other tongues in a church service? No. That's only given to some, he says, as he wills. Are everybody in here an interpreter? No. That's only given at his will, those to interpret. But now what I'm talking about, the other one, where you pray in tongues at will. And sometimes God will even give you the interpretation of that. Let's go on here. And he says, but earnestly desire and zealously cultivate the greatest and best gifts and graces, the higher gifts and the choicest graces. And notice, he says, yet I will show unto you a more excellent way, one that is better and by far and by the highest of them all. And then he begins to talk about the love of God. I've got to stop because our time is just about up. I had wrote down here over there in Ezekiel 37, verses 1 through 14. And most of y'all probably know that is the story where God told Ezekiel, asked him, can these bones live? He said, ah, Lord God, only you know. I'd say the same thing. God, you know. God said, prophesy to them. He said, speak to them. There's people out there this morning that I'm telling you, God is putting the call out there. They're living in graves. I'm talking about, number one, they don't know him. And then God's got people out there that they've been born again, backslidden, so drug addicted to their brain, is their mind is just mush. But God is putting out the call, and God is going to breathe on these bones. And we are going to rise up, the body of Christ, and be one great and exceeding army. And I'm telling you, we've got great things to look forward to. But encourage people. People that you know that used to go to church and serve God that are not, don't judge them. Don't look down on them. You don't know why they are the way they are. I mean, I can tell you as a Christian, I've had some stuff myself. And still, I'm not perfect in all areas or whatever. But encourage people. Serve the Lord. God loves you. God will set you free. I mean, I heard something not too long ago that they're having to sit in the parking lot and get shots before they can go in the church because they get such social anxiety. And I told him, I said, I don't care what you got to do to get here. Just get here. Y'all remember Mac, right? He's in the food line doing meth. And, whoo, it don't look like he's going to be no blessing to us. I mean, him and Scotty is butting heads like two goats. Look at him now. What a blessing and what a work. Thank God we didn't turn him away. Because God had him to bless us. I mean, look at this parking lot. They ain't a limb out there nowhere, boy. And we are mowed down to the dirt, nearly. I got to stop because time is up. Does anybody have anything they'd like to share quickly?